Welcome to the Life Self-Mastery podcast, where we bring in entrepreneurs who have created online businesses and improved their lifestyles. Here's your host, Rohit Malhotra.
Hi everyone, I'm Rohit from LifeSelfMastery.com, and today I'm thrilled to have Malcolm and Simon Collins, who have co-authored the book called The Pragmatist Guide to Life, a guide to creating your own answers to life's bigger questions. The book is a ruthlessly pragmatic guide to creating your own answers to life's biggest questions. Malcolm is a neuroscientist who's an MBA from Stanford and has worked in an early stage VC company. Simon is an alumni of University of Cambridge and has been the director of marketing at HubPages.com. Both Simon and Malcolm now run a number of travel companies focusing on travel marks, splitting their time between North American headquarters and the South American offices in Lima, Peru. Welcome to the show, Malcolm and Simon.
Hi, how are you?
Awesome, thank you. You have a great journey. Please share your journey about, you know, why, you know, you got into entrepreneurship and why did you write this book, The Pragmatist Guide to Life?
Well, I guess it all started when we first met, which was with a question about entrepreneurship. I asked Malcolm on OkCupid about his company and we ended up going on a date where he told me essentially he was looking, not to date, but looking for a wife. And he expected to find his wife at Stanford, where there was a large pool of pre-vetted candidates. And I, at the time, having spent some time working for a Silicon Valley startup, was really interested in starting a company just like him. Also interested in basically falling in love and having my heart broken in 1 year so I could focus for the rest of my life as a single person in business.
And it was the questions that we asked on that date that really ended up, it was the creation of the book and with the companies. It was, where do we want our lives to go? And specifically, what's the philosophical framework behind why we want our lives to go in those directions?
And throughout our process of starting a company, going to disparate continents after marrying and going into venture capital and then reuniting in the United States to search for a single business to buy and then acquiring a multinational business, which we're now running, we've been sort of building these heuristics of how do we decide to do what we do? How do we make optimal decisions? And I think our decision to write it down culminated in the creation of this book.
Yeah, very interesting. So Malcolm, you're a neuroscientist, and you know, what made you do an MBA, you know, and then finally get into VC and, you know, running other different businesses?
It's funny, people say, well, you know, why did you quit being a neuroscientist or why did you quit being a VC? And I'm like, it's basically the same answer. I wanted autonomy and I wanted money. And I didn't have enough autonomy or money in either position. When I was a neuroscientist, I left because I looked at the people who were above me. You know, they were the absolute top of their field and they really didn't have any autonomy until, you know, after they had finished, until they were like 36 or 40 or something. And I had no interest in waiting that long. And it's like, screw it, getting an MBA, gonna do a business. And then I went to look at the VC path, because everyone at Stanford Business School, you know, they treat being a VC like it is the single, you know, greatest peak in your life, you know. So I worked my way up. I got a high level job at a really strong VC. And what I realized about being a VC is, you know, most of your life is begging for money. You forget that VCs need to constantly be raising money, much more than an entrepreneur does. And it wasn't a lifestyle that I wanted to live. So then it was sort of back to the drawing board. And we had started a number of companies, my wife and I, that had grown. And we said, you know what? Let's just buy a bunch of companies and then glue them all together and grow that empire. And that's what we ended up doing. So we ended up raising something called a search fund to buy a number of more companies. And that's where that came from. And it's really, look at the problem of wealth accumulation and sort of maintaining autonomy. And don't look at it like everyone else is looking at it. You know, if everyone else is saying, oh, I want to start this little company that does something that's on the cutting edge of technology, say, no, I don't want to start a company. I want to buy a company. I want to convince other people to fund me to do that. And I don't want to do something that's on the cutting edge. I want to do something that's a space that everyone who's as smart as I am has abandoned. And that's what ended us up here.
That's a very interesting approach. And Simon, you worked at HubPages. You were heading marketing over there. HubPages helps build content and build other strong brand names for content creators. So, you know, how can people build strong brand names for themselves, you know, using content? Or do you think HubPages are still relevant in these days?
HubPages, though I haven't logged into my account for years, is still quite relevant. I make several hundred dollars from the various articles that I wrote on that site
every
month.
As like a teenager, yeah.
Yeah, it's been quite a few years, and I'm still making so much money from my articles every month. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of it is, and this is basically a different way of saying exactly what Malcolm just said, which is don't pursue the sexy, pursue the thing that is demanded. And that was the lesson that I tried to teach writers at HubPages constantly, which was don't write what you want to write about. Don't write stories about yourself. Don't write about whatever's sexy. Write about what people are searching for. And so my best performing articles are, you know, how to kiss a boy well and how to get rid of raccoons and all these little weird things that people searched for, but for which there was not very good content. And entrepreneurs of any sort, be you a content entrepreneur or someone starting a company or a politician at that, I mean, right, anyway, you have to provide something that people want.
Right. And, you also had a career path when, you were part of a VC, and now you run your own fund, which is Collins Family Ventures. Do you also raise funds from other people and then, you know, go on buying companies? You buy the entire companies or you still work in a VC format?
Yeah, that's how we do it. I mean, I often say that, you know, one of the best ways to accumulate wealth, if that's what you're interested in, is first make rich people a bunch of money. And after you make rich people a bunch of money, you find it remarkably easy to have money the next time you want to do something. And that was really the path that we took, is always, you know, despite being quite successful in our early career, not focus on keeping any of that, not focus on high salaries for ourselves, not necessarily even focus on reinvesting it in the business, but focus on making the right people wealth. But I think, you know, even to take a step back from that, because we were in these positions, because we were in the positions of, you know, hobnobbing with all the top entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley and all the top VCs in Silicon Valley, we really got a perspective into what were the problems that people face after they enter this stage of life. And the problems that they face are problems they could have addressed before they got there, and their lives would be so much more meaningful had they taken the time to address them up front. And that's really what our book is about. It's about all of these people who we talk to, and we're like, yes, I'm happy, and yes, I'm wealthy, and yes, I have a loving family, but it turned out that none of that stuff really mattered to me. And I didn't know it didn't matter to me because I didn't have it yet. And once I had it, and once it was secure, and once I really started thinking about it, all I could feel was, I guess this wasn't really what I wanted. This is just what everyone told me people want. And it's not what people really want. And that's what the book and the core of the book is about. It's about why specifically, not vaguely, not, oh, I want to make the world better for other people. Why very specifically, define better. What are you trying to maximize in other people's lives? What's the philosophical framework behind the desire for that maximization? What are outside the box ways you can maximize those things in other people's lives? That's what the book really focuses on. And we think that it is absolutely critical for anyone who plans on becoming successful in any sort of traditional way to go through a book like this and think through these things. And no one else is putting books like this out there right now. And it's a shame. It's a shame that there aren't many books that just from an unbiased perspective help you walk through yourself what you want to achieve with your life.
Right. And there are also a lot of personal development books which aim at making money, but you focus more on making a better person out of somebody from this book. Somebody who's just out of college and, you know, wants to figure out life, or somebody who's into their 40s and, you know, still not figure out what they're doing. So you talk about important questions like, you know, what is the purpose and, you know, how would others perceive of you and how to best realize your potential. So is your book a framework on how to go about it, or does it give an overview of, you know, how do you answer these questions?
The book completely guides you through answering the questions by basically forcing you to think through them by yourself. We present all of the major things one may wish to maximize with their lives, and then we present various thought experiments that act as a litmus test to help you determine if that really is the thing that you want to maximize. Anything from happiness to perfection to helping others to saving the environment, it should help you go through that.
Okay, and somebody who's just starting off, you know, somebody who's had an number of experience, can you give me some example of, you know, how would they go about, you know, achieving the best potential, or, you know, how would they go about, getting to know what is the ultimate purpose?
I think a core purpose, a core problem that many people, especially in the entrepreneurial community, face is they focus on realizing a certain narrative that they have of themselves, or that they think is what they want from themselves. And what they are trying to achieve is a narrative. It is a story about who they are and who they become, which is very different than a specific cause and effect in the world. I mean, if you're trying to just write a story about yourself, that story boxes in the pathways that you can take towards your success. When you're trying to write a story about how you became a successful business owner, you may not be able to consider raising money to buy businesses from other people, for example. And this narrative form of success is really crippling to, especially I would say, like, sort of the entrepreneurial self-help community. Is that they're just so focused on a specific narrative of success that they don't think about what they actually want.
Interesting. And you've also, bought travel companies and you run travel packs. So how did that go about, to happen? And how do you manage multiple companies at the same time?
As Malcolm said, we raised money from a group of investors using what's called the search fund model to spend up to 2 years searching for a single company that met their criteria that would be willing to sell to us at favorable terms. And then we, using their money, acquired it. Managing companies across several different countries has been challenging for us. I mean, we've never done this before. And it's been extremely interesting for us, especially because this is multiple languages, multiple cultures, multiple time zones. But I think the thing is, nobody knows what they're doing. Everybody learns what they're doing as they do it. They're just figuring things out as they go along. There's no rule book or lesson set that we could provide that would help someone. I think the only thing we can say is anyone can do this. If we can do it, it's not rocket science.
And the core of what drew us to TravelMax was we realized when we were first talking with the owners and they were talking about, oh yeah, we're in the travel agency industry. And we're like, what? Come on.
To clarify, TravelMax is the company we acquired.
Yeah, that's not an industry. The travel agencies, that hasn't been a thing for 20 years. And then we started researching it and we started Googling around. And, you know, we learned from the New York Times, there's been a systematic study and travel agents are always cheaper than buying airline tickets online. And this was stuff we didn't know. And then when we started asking our other friends, in the private equity industry and stuff like that, if they knew that, a lot of them didn't know that either. And we're like, oh, this is an amazing overlooked industry. And if you really sort of are interested in booking travel or you travel much, we strongly recommend you email us at ceo@travelmax.com because you will be amazed at how much better the experience is than going through online channels, especially for more complicated trips.
Okay. What's your annual revenue and, you know, how many employees work for you?
Well, we do over 100 million a year in sales. I don't really know if I can get into any more specifics than that right now, just because, you know, I need to clear it with the board and everything like that about what's public information. But I know I've been able to say that one. But the point that we would make was this, is that, you know, you look at a lot of these people who are trying to help other people, you know, build their entrepreneurial success and stuff like that. And you actually look at specifically what they've accomplished with their careers. And it typically isn't that much. It's sort of a blind leading the blind scenario. And yeah, our book is focused more on why do you want to do this stuff? What specifically are you trying to achieve by doing this stuff? But that's the type of book that somebody who had actually achieved success in these areas would write, because those are the type of questions that really matter after you've achieved your success.
Got it. And you know, you have offices in Miami and Peru. So is it a conscious decision to move out of Silicon Valley and out of the Bay Area?
We detest Silicon Valley. It's expensive. It's a place full of a lot of fluff and not enough substance in our view. And we got really burnt out working there, to be honest.
But if you want to raise VC capital, you have to be there. Any of these people who are like, oh, this is the new Silicon Valley, or, you know, to start somewhere else. And then no, if you want real VC money, you have to be based in Silicon Valley.
One does have to be there to raise money, but there are so many other ways to do it. And as creative as Silicon Valley is, and as much as I acknowledge that it is an incredible intellectual capital, it is also very much a place subject to herd mentality, just as much as any old-fashioned town. And it's dangerous, as far as I'm concerned, to live anywhere where everyone has a very similar mindset and similar expectation set, because for those who haven't basically done what we encourage people to do in this book and really think through what you value and what you want to do with your life, it's really easy to get funneled into a specific track in life, fall into a rut, and then be just riddled with mediocrity for the rest of your years, which terrifies me.
Interesting. So, Simon, Malcolm, you've been into high growth startups. You've been a venture capitalist. Now you're running your own company. You've written a book. So what is the way forward next? What is something you're looking forward to in the next coming years?
Will all the profits from our book go to our nonprofit? And the book is The Pragmatist Guide to Life, and the nonprofit is The Pragmatist Foundation. And we're sort of at a point in life right now where we're really focused on the, well, so what stage of things. And the nonprofit we view as critical to sort of the country and the world's future moving forwards, which is getting people to move away from this attitude of I'm right and you're evil, and start asking the question of, okay, what is actually right? Where is the evidence? Where is the evidence I might be wrong?
Got it. So, let's quickly do the top three. What's your favorite business book? Both of you can tell me what's your favorite business book.
We don't, I disagree that that's a good way to go about business. I mean, I know a lot of these self-help communities really focus on that. I would say that the book that impacted me most, just because of the way I react to books, is sort of thinking through them instead of writing them, is our own book. Simone, has any business book really impacted you? Have you ever read one that you thought the person knew what they were talking about?
The one that changed my mindset with the way we did things with our business was a policy book called Inside the Nudge Unit, which is about behavioral economics and basically utilizing the mental laziness of humans to get them to do something that is, for whoever thinks they're manipulating these people, morally right or better for them. And it's a very interesting book.
Interesting. And what's your favorite online tool which you use a lot?
Google. And when I say Google, I don't mean that in a generic sense. I mean the core of a good employee or a successful entrepreneur is someone who, when they don't know how to do something, they look it up. You can do anything you want. Somebody has figured it out and done a YouTube tutorial of it that will explain it to you. You just need to be willing to say, okay, here's this ridiculous goal I have for myself. Ignore all skill sets and then say, okay, how would somebody go about achieving that? What specifically at an incremental level would they need to know here? Would they need to know here? Would they need to know here? And then go out there and look it up.
I agree. And beyond that, though, what I would add is sites like Quora and Reddit and other online communities, because one thing that Malcolm said we really advocate for and we really do is trying to figure out when we might be wrong or consider alternate views. And one of the best ways we can do that is just hop online and see what people in an opposing view camp think and how they think and the evidence they're using. And it allows you to actually look at that evidence for yourself, by yourself, without someone yelling at you, without people looking at you and judging you, and really think about it.
Yeah, truth isn't a team sport. And a lot of the entrepreneurial community can get into this mindset of the time when you really know you're right is when everyone is telling you what you're doing is stupid. And, you know, whether people tell you that what you're doing is stupid or a great idea is really irrelevant. What matters is it stupid or a good idea? You know, being told that it's not a good idea is not evidence that it is a good idea. What is evidence is building a set of heuristics of how you're going to decide whether or not it's a good idea and then looking for evidence that you're wrong.
Got it. And, you know, if you could go back in time when you had, you know, bought travel companies that you're running, what is the one thing you would have focused on?
Honestly, we were acting as optimally as we could at the time. I wouldn't change anything.
I would have focused on more boring industries. I mean, I think that the two core lessons I'd give to an early Silicon Valley entrepreneur is that if you can't program, learn to program, or don't try and start a company that requires that you know how to program. You're not going to find some co-founder to handle it all for you. And then the other thing is, don't focus on sexy industries. And when I say sexy industries, I mean anything that's like a consumer product or anything that is going to impress other people when they hear about it. You know, start an industry that puts up Christmas lights for people. Or
no,
something.
Basically the rule of the party is if you tell them your job, they should be like, oh, and then change the subject.
Yes, that's how you know you have a good idea, because smart people aren't going to be clamoring in that industry and you're going to be able to take a much bigger piece of the pie.
Oh, all right, that's something which is very interesting. You know, how can people reach out to you and how can they buy their book? And if you have any final message for people for reading this book?
Well, you know, we're a bestseller on Amazon right now, so just Google The Pragmatist Guide to Life on Amazon and you will definitely find us because we're not taking any money from this. You know, it's always marked at the lowest possible prices, so it's a low price thing to get. It's just a time investment because it is a difficult read. And if you're interested in booking travel, email us at ceo@travelmax.com.
All right. You know, thank you very much for coming on to the show. I really appreciate you guys coming over. It's a very interesting insight. I'm sure listeners would learn a lot from the book and from your life experiences.
This was such a fun interview. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Life Self Mastery podcast, where we teach you how to start and grow your online business. For more information, visit Rohit's blog at www.lifeselfmastery.com.